ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Have you noticed there's someone new attending your work meetings? They're only there in the background for now, but pretty soon they might actually be speaking up.
Fantastic! Good job! Amazing!
Okay, well, that's not happening just yet, but this is.
I find that using AI actually changes the way that I run my meetings.
It's like your own little assistant off in the background.
Hello, I'm Lisa Leong, and for This Working Life, you'll be learning about the use of artificial intelligence in meetings. What's it doing there, and how can it help you?
Hi, I'm Dr. Sean Gallagher. I'm founder of Humanova. I come at AI through a work lens and really are trying to understand what's the future of human work in a world where technology is increasingly sophisticated.
Sean says COVID really accelerated the use of technology in meetings, but that created another problem.
People are spending three times more time in meetings now than they were in 2020, which is quite an extraordinary increase, right? And even some evidence showing that, for example, in the average 60-minute meeting, there might be just 2 minutes of insight, and often up to a quarter of participants in that meeting never come off mute. And so, you know, we've come to this place where we used online meetings to stay connected. And increasingly, as that technology became more sophisticated, more functionality became part of that.
Can you tell us how common is the use of AI in meetings so far?
I think it's increasingly common. Mm. And certainly in larger organizations, it's almost a go-to that a meeting gets recorded, partly because they recognize that there is a productivity concern with respect to meetings, and that a lot of things get discussed, but a lot of it gets lost. It doesn't come through in the meeting notes or is poorly recorded.
Yes.
And so making sure that there's better corporate memory, I think, in a lot of organizations is why AI is increasingly being used within meetings.
And for those who haven't experienced it, what kinds of AI products are incorporated in our meeting technology nowadays?
Oh, there's a whole bunch. I often bring my own personal AI along to a meeting. So someone might have set up a Teams meeting, and I'll bring my personal AI, and it turns up in the meeting as a separate thumbnail on the screen, and it says, you know, I won't mention the brand name, .ai, and it often has my name afterwards. So it's there as my AI. And, you know, that's one example. And of course, you know, I ask
what
permission.
Does your AI do for you?
It records the meeting in terms of transcribing everything that was done. It will provide a summary of the key points that were discussed, as well as any actions arising out of that meeting. And importantly, it will send that to everyone that attended the meeting. Even though I didn't necessarily call the meeting, it will make sure that so everyone knows exactly from a transparency perspective.
Charlotte Rush is an organisational psychologist and a regular AI user as well, and she's feeling the benefits.
AI is absolutely making my meetings more efficient. It's making me more purposeful with how I run my meetings, but most importantly, after my meetings, when I need to send an email that summarises that meeting, when I need to actually work on the action points, I know exactly what I need to do, and I can really easily communicate with other people that I'm meeting with what they need to do as well.
And Sean, is there any etiquette that you should use if you do plan to bring your AI into a meeting?
Totally. I think it's really important to ask permission, right? And I've had permission declined. I've said, I'm bringing my AI to this meeting. Is it okay? And a couple of hosts have said, actually, do you mind if we don't? And they just decline the access of the AI to the meeting.
What other parts of our business data do we actually need to give the AI access to in order for it to be the most effective in meetings?
Certainly, I think most workers would agree that the AI could, say, have access to all of the minutes of that particular meeting over a period of time. it then starts to become, maybe a little bit more great. What supplementary material should the AI also have access to? Is it, supporting documentation, et cetera? And we need to be very clear in terms of when we start giving the AI access to, say, email threads that are being used to inform the meeting, that if someone wasn't involved in that email thread, that there is a transparency around why that email thread was potentially used to help inform that meeting.
So how do other users of AI in meetings manage conversations about consent and privacy?
Hi, I'm John Yeo. I'm the licensee for TEDx Melbourne and a professional speaker coach. When I handle meetings where AI is involved, I typically talk to someone, say, I'm about to record this meeting. Some of the tools I have do little pop-ups or little audio announcements as they're joining the meeting. And I find that that serves as the most appropriate way, I guess, to address people's concerns around AI. I think people should be worried about AI and what it's being used for. At the same time, I think we need to be both objective and real about the value it creates and make some objective decisions about how we like that to be sort of included in our lives or excluded from our lives.
Charlotte has some concerns about privacy too.
We are really embracing AI and experimenting with it. I work with clients and organizations that are not necessarily keen to do that. I always ask their permission, but they might not be feeling comfortable about that actual decision, even if they do say yes.
Dr. Sean Gallagher says developing policies and protocols is key to getting everyone on board.
You know, we've done research here in Australia to understand what are the best ways for organizations to uptake AI within their workforce. And the number one indicator was the presence of a formal company policy about AI use. And yes, it's about guardrails and ethical and safe and responsible use of AI, but it's also about the vision and values that the company has around using AI to alleviate and to mitigate fears. Most people fear AI in terms of it's going to take my job, or it's going to see that I'm not as good at my job as people think that I am. So the policy is really important to make people feel comfortable that the AI is here to support you to do better work. And that then flows down into protocols that teams should have around using AI within meetings. For example, is it just going to focus on the meeting at hand and just transcribing this? Or are we giving the AI a lot of approval to access, say, a history of the team's meetings over a period of time so that it can actually act as a brains trust? I think all of those things need to be worked out, certainly with the overarching policy of the company, but also within teams. How are they going to work? How are they going to use AI to perform better as a team?
So what are the other ways AI can help in a meeting? Some of these are mind-blowing.
People will often have their personal AI listening into a meeting, and particularly if it's in an area that they might not know a lot about, they can actually be chatting to their AI on the side of the meeting saying, well, what kind of questions should I be asking here based on what you know about me? And to help ensure that the worker is contributing in a meaningful way to that meeting. The AI can certainly make sure that everyone is heard in a meeting. It can pick up, maybe not during the meeting, but certainly afterwards, it can do an analysis. It can assess the team's performance of the meeting. Were the tones of people's voices suggesting that it was a collegial or potentially that there was a lot of tension within the room? So it can help with that analysis afterwards. Often the vision can help where there's physical artifacts, say, for example, a whiteboard. It can potentially not only record what is being written, but it can also understand through its vision capabilities what is actually being discussed in the meeting. And I've certainly seen that some organizations, they invite the AI to participate as a team member within that meeting. What's your opinion on what we're trying to talk about here? Or we're not reaching consensus on a particular issue. Can you potentially help us maybe ask some questions that can help us get to a position where we all come together on the same landing point? So increasingly, the AI is going to move from being passive to being an active member within teams.
And could the AI potentially prompt someone to participate if they haven't already?
Yes. And it can actually be done in a subtle way. For example, it could be done just to the manager or the person who's facilitating the meeting. John's been very quiet in the corner. You know, maybe ask him this question, knowing his expertise or what he's been invited to the meeting for.
Do you think it could play a role in conflict or disputes between team members in a meeting?
Totally. It's very helpful in terms of helping reach consensus in a meeting. One of the great things about AI is it doesn't judge, and it is there to help in that circumstance, for example. It can help figure out maybe there's a way to reach consensus and to help mediate or potentially to help people understand what one person's opinion was through the other person's eyes and vice versa. It's also really important that AI can ensure that everyone is being heard in that meeting. If everyone feels included and if everyone has a quality of voice, then I think a lot of the issues around disputes or disagreements within meetings can be alleviated.
You might have noticed that the use of artificial intelligence in meetings is already happening at your workplace. So we're getting to know more about it with Dr. Sean Gallagher, an expert in the future of work. Sean, what is the research on how the presence of AI makes the meeting better or more productive?
There is increasing evidence to show that with respect to the productivity in meetings, that people are tapping out. They're often not turning on their cameras and or certainly staying on mute if that is the case. So hopefully AI is going to lead to perhaps fewer and shorter meetings. It's going to help workers, particularly those either preparing for the meeting or those who are facilitating the meeting. They don't have to spend as much time organizing, coming up with the agenda or going back through the last three meetings minutes as well as other supplementary material to come up to speed to where things are at. And I could see very soon that we could actually, in a team meeting, ask the AI to do a three-minute recap, for example, of the status of something, and that AI would be across everything. We've all gone into meetings, and particularly if it is meeting with people you haven't seen for a little while, we're going through email trails, we're going through documents, we're trying to find what was said last time to bring us up to speed. That is an enormous waste of productivity. And so the AI can actually support us not just in the meeting, but also around the meeting. And certainly the research that I've helped co-lead here in Australia is that it's really about having what we call high frequency users. So workers who are using AI on a daily basis, that is actually really important because when they're using AI, not just AI within team meetings, but AI within their daily jobs, they're not only more productive, but they do higher quality work. And that actually has a really important dividend to the worker themselves. They report much better well-being. They're much more optimistic about the future. They're far less fearful of the technology. They expect better pay. They expect better job prospects. And they're generally much more positive. So it really is about some hand-holding that organizations need to do through having a policy in place, providing formal training around the technology, to get people to use the technology more and more and more within their daily routines. And that's where the real productivity benefits will come.
The potential for AI to make meetings better seems promising, but what are the downsides? Will we stop talking to each other? Maybe feel less connected as human beings?
Currently, if you have a problem at work, just a query or something you need to have solved, you often would go to a team member, you know, someone who might know a bit more about Excel than you, or someone that knows a bit more about a particular area of knowledge. And I think workers will increasingly defer to AI for that help, partly because it's far easier to interact with the AI. And in fact, you know, with OpenAI's new version of ChatGPT, you can have it open as an app on your computer as you're working. So you can ask it to help you with those particular work problems. And that, I think, workers will increasingly defer to, rather than interrupting their colleagues with these annoying little questions all the time. But that actually has a negative impact in terms of the social network within teams. Those connections between team members are enhanced through that type of interaction. As workers increasingly defer to AI instead of a human for that kind of work, that teams are very conscious about ensuring that the social network within teams and across organizations continue, so that they're bringing team members together to discuss, you know, much more complex problem solving, or, you know, challenges or new opportunities that arise, so that, you know, higher value work, so that we're maintaining the connections between humans. I think that that's really important as AI continues to develop, that we don't become isolated as individual workers within our organizations.
Is there a risk that we start really relying on AI too much, maybe even lose our knowledge? I had been reading about Google Brain, where you can't remember facts and figures anymore. And of course, we've experienced not being able to find our way because we don't have a GPS, because we don't have that in our brains anymore.
The calculator came into school when I was at school, and, you know, I remember my grandfather saying to me, "Oh, why are you using that thing? You should know how to do long division." And okay, I don't know how to do long division anymore. I don't think I need to, and I certainly, you know, the calculator has been super beneficial. And I think the AI will certainly augment and support workers to be smarter and to do better work. Now, there's a lot of, I think, debate that will be had as to, well, will it make us dumb or not? So if my daughter, she's 10, she's actually at school doing long division at the moment. And I'm glad that she's doing long division, because it's actually training her brain. You know, it's creating synaptic connections that will help her think critically and come up with mental models later in life, even though she's not going to use long division. So I think it's really important that we continue to learn and train our brains. So when it comes to using AI, I think it's really important to continue to have that critical oversight of what the AI produces. First and foremost, you know, the number one golden rule in working with AI is that the human makes the decision. The human is responsible for the factual accuracy of whatever's being produced, and the human is also responsible for any ethical or bias considerations that may come out of the AI's output. Really, the human must not just be in the loop, but also has to take responsibility for that outcome. And certainly, I've seen some cut and pastes go on where people are asleep at the wheel, they become lazy with AI, where they sort of just accept the output and they just paste it into an email. We need to avoid that. You know, empowering workers and making them realize that they're responsible and they should be held accountable for that AI, I think is really critical to ensure that we don't fall asleep at the wheel and just accept it. Hopefully that will avoid us becoming, you know, dumber as AI gets smarter.
Charlotte points out another concern about the use of AI in meetings. What happens afterwards?
How that information that is being captured today might be used in the future. So, for example, 5 years, I see that something I said many years ago is being referenced. I'm not sure how I would feel about that. And I'm not sure what the rules are and what should be the rules around deleting information, for example, once an employee leaves an organization.
John, I think some people are hesitant about AI in meetings because of privacy issues. So who owns the data? And I know that in some of the organizations that provide AI, they will have a disclaimer saying that they can use the material, for example, in training videos. So what are your thoughts on the limitations with data and privacy?
I think importantly, if videos are going to, or transcripts or whatever it might be, is going to be used for training purposes, I think it's really important that it's de-identified and that a particular individual can't be identified from that training. But of course, fundamental to this is companies and organizations need a policy in place about AI and why they are using it, not just the how, but why are we integrating this within our organization? And how can this actually be done in a way that is actually going to benefit everyone? The privacy, certainly if we focus on our meetings, potentially there are some, you know, maybe some negative impacts, and some people will feel uncomfortable about that. And I think they have to be given the opportunity to opt out. As long as it's a transparent process that workers are fully aware of where their data is going and for what purposes, I think that's really important, and the company needs to be clear about that.
As a tech enthusiast, John Yeo can see the benefits, but is cautious as well.
AI, especially in meetings, I think is a huge boon for anyone who really wants to focus more on the connection and the experience and the conversation flow, as opposed to, am I writing that minute down? Am I remembering to do that later on? So if anything, it allows the human being to flourish if we let it. But we still need to shape, direct, and understand what AI can and will do, and what people can and will do with that data, and create frameworks that protect and manage that appropriately.
People are going to have their own AI very shortly. It's a matter of years, if not less, in which we have a personal AI that knows who we are and everything from a work perspective, personal life, et cetera, and that can help us be our best selves in these meetings.
I want you to look now into your crystal ball, Sean. What's the future of AI in meetings? Is it going to mean that everyone just sends their virtual assistants rather than turning up in person?
I don't think so. I do think that meetings play a critical role within the social fabric of organizations. They're important to connect with other human beings on a human level. It's about developing trust and a sense of belonging. You know, when we're in a meeting with our colleagues, particularly face-to-face, but also to some extent online, you know, hearing the tone of their voice, seeing their expression on their face when they're talking about something. You know, for me to read a transcript, certainly I can get the distillation of what was discussed, and that is important information. But I don't know what was emphasized more than others within that. And I, you know, understanding all of that only comes through face-to-face. Now, you don't necessarily need to attend every single meeting. And in fact, a lot of companies or organizations, they work over multiple time zones. And sometimes in that instance, I probably would send my AI to attend on my behalf, because I don't want to have a meeting at 10 o'clock at night or 3 o'clock in the morning. So there will be instances where increasingly AI will be part of that. But I don't think that it's going to remove the need for humans to come together and to interact with one another to develop that trust and sense of belonging.
Thank you so much, Sean.
You're welcome.
Dr. Sean Gallagher is an expert advisor on generative AI in the future of work. And thanks to early adopters John Yeo and Charlotte Rush for their insights as well. If you've got some thoughts of your own you'd like to share, drop us an email, thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. In our next episode, some can't get enough of jargon at work, while others find it really annoying. Why is that? And how can we make sure everyone understands each other? This Working Life is on the ABC Listen app, Search for the program, tap on the pink heart, and you can stay up to date with all of our episodes. I'm Lisa Leong. Thanks for listening. This program was produced by Michelle Weeks, mixed by Elise Simons on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Melbourne. Until next time, work it, baby.